Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, today could be described as Priority Sunday. And we know what the word priority means very well. We have many priorities in life, and we often have to balance one priority versus the other priorities. And there's a hierarchy that we make. We have to, because we simply cannot do everything. And sometimes those things that are less important have to be put aside so that something more important, more critical, can be addressed. So what our Lord is telling us today in the gospel is to make sure that salvation is our top priority. We have many priorities in life. We have to take care of the body. We have to go to work. We have to take care of the house. We have to pay bills. We have to go to the doctor. We have to get educated. We have to do chores. These are all necessary. These are important. These are God's will. But what is not God's will is that we put any one of these things above the priority of salvation. This gospel of today is part of the Sermon on the Mount, those three very outstanding chapters in St. Matthew's gospel. I believe it's chapters 5, 6, and 7. Where our Lord is laying out the spirit of this church that he's going to found. And it's very important to read and reflect on, from time to time anyway. And our Lord emphasizes the spirit that needs to be there. Yes, the letter of the law is important, but what is the spirit? Strive to fulfill the Spirit. And our Lord makes it very clear. He says, and this is again, he's explaining priorities. No man can serve two masters. In other words, you can't have two number one priorities. One is going to have to yield to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is the Hebrew word that signifies not just the idea of riches, but making them your main priority in life. If we make that our main priority, we're not going to save our souls. This doesn't mean that material things and money are evil in themselves. They just have to be used in the right way. They have to be subservient to the most important goal. Look at today's saint, St. Louis IX, King of France. He was very wealthy. As king, he had great riches at his command, so to speak, but he subordinated them in the proper way. He used them in the right way. So that is what our Lord is saying. But then we tend to have this great anxiety of how we're going to provide for ourselves. We don't know the future, and then we worry and have anxiety. What shall we eat? What shall we put on? And our Lord says, don't worry about it as though that's your number one priority. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then these other things shall be given you besides. Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not of much more value than they? Now, in this commentary that I have, there's a great, explanation here. There were heretics called the Eucites, condemned by the church, who saw in this passage a justification for sloth. I don't have to really work. Jesus says, the birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet they're fed. There's many passages in Scripture that tell us we have to work hard, labor hard, overcome sloth. We read in Proverbs, go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways, and learn wisdom, which provideth meat for herself in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest. So there's obviously no condemnation of labor, rather an encouragement to labor. But again, it's the idea of priority. I'm reminded also, as we're speaking of the birds of the air, of a passage from the book of Job in which it says, man is made for work as the bird is made to fly. So there's the word of God telling us that we must be hard workers. What would we say about the bird that doesn't fly? Well, it won't fulfill its purpose. As a matter of fact, it's not going to survive long. So everyone has the law of labor put upon them. Man is made for work as the bird is made to fly. Again, from the book of Job. Besides our Lord alluding to the beautiful example of the birds, how God provides for them, of course, they have to do their job. They have to go find the food. They have to fly around. They're not called upon to grow a garden or grow crops, obviously. That's not the way God created them. But our Lord also, and this is, he's pointing out things in this beautiful nature that he has made. God himself created it. As for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, nor, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. You know, so often we see many stunning examples of beauty in nature. Things we're still discovering about God's creation, this beautiful harmony and well, there's beauty also in order. Now, the lilies of the field, they're not called upon to grow crops. They are plants themselves. But they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, that's one thing about plants and animals. Just by being who they are, they're glorifying God. We, however, as rational beings, also have a free will, and it's necessary for us to glorify God by our good choices. So, also, and this is for those that are worrywarts by nature, some are more worried than others, have great anxiety. Our Lord also includes, be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall be clothed with? For after all these things do the heathen seek. So again, a real help for the practice of the virtues of faith and hope that God's providence will take care of these needs. And we, you know, if we had it all figured out, if we had everything planned out and knew all the answers of how things will be, where would there be faith and hope in God? We'd be putting it into our own selves, into our own way of doing things. But God leaves that element very clearly, that element of depend on divine providence. This is where you will be edified and inspired by reading the lives of the saints. And so many of the lives of the saints, you see this dependence on the providence of God. Where the saints undertook great labors, where, you know, they didn't know how it was going to turn out, but they did what they could. They put one foot in front of the other. They kept persevering, and God provided. I remember reading a story about St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, who in her apostolate was founding not just convents, but hospitals, schools, and orphanages. And when she founded Columbia Hospital in Chicago, she got a $1,000 donation to begin with. And she went with great joy to somebody, maybe I think it was a doctor who had agreed to help her found this hospital. And she says, "I've got this $1,000 right here." And the doctor, I believe he was Catholic, so he didn't, you know, put her down. But he said with a smile, "Mother Cabrini, don't you realize how many thousands of dollars this is going to cost?" And her answer revealed how much she understood and relied on the providence of God. She says, "Oh yes, I know. But still, here's $1,000. God has provided it, and we're going to keep moving forward." And that great hospital was built. So just one of countless examples of the saints putting first the kingdom of God, as our Lord says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you." I believe it was St. Ignatius who said, well, he said, "Pray like it all depends on God. Well, work like it all depends on you, but pray like it all depends on God." This doesn't mean that we are constantly to be thinking about God and spiritual things. It's not so much a matter of priority of time is priority of intention. If you were stopped and asked, what is your most important priority, we should be able to have it come out quite clearly. To seek the kingdom of God and his justice. And I will continue to do my daily duty. I will work. I will trust in Almighty God. So let the example of our own Blessed Mother inspire us. She who was the Mother of God and Queen of Heaven and Earth, she did her daily duty. She accepted all that God asked her to do. And she certainly sought better than anyone else the kingdom of God and his justice, and at the same time fulfilled her duties and had her trust and faith in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.